I'm going to play catch up. Loads of WhatsApp messages in a short while. So if you're hoping for your message to be shared, just bear with us. We've got Bob's Wire first. Bob's Wire, look at the things trending on social media. Welcome back, Barbara. And Madonna has made it up there.
Yeah.
With so clothes on, I suspect.
She has got clothes on. It sort of started after the Grammy Awards on Sunday, where she was introducing one of the acts, and it was quite a groundbreaking act. It was Sam Smith and Kim Petras, who has become the first trans woman to perform at the awards. And of course, for her, this was the historical moment. And what did the public do? They didn't focus on that. They focused on her seemingly strange appearance in all the pictures and videos. I don't know if you've seen any of them, but it's like a sort of a very smooth, this is just my view on it, a very smooth, overly puffed up, very round face, obviously with no lines on. I mean, she's 64 years old.
I was going to Google. Yeah.
And, I mean, I do think she looks extremely strange. And I say this as someone who has been a huge Madonna fan since I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
And so she's hit back, you know, and I think this is typical Madonna. You know, she didn't kind of shy away from the criticism that was going wild on the internet. She took to social media yesterday, slamming the reaction to the comments that she looked unrecognizable. And she said, you know, first of all, she said, why focus on my appearance when I was actually doing this, introducing this really important act? But second of all, she speaks about misogyny and ageism and, you
good
know,
for
just
you,
very,
Madonna.
Okay. So I'm going to say good for you. I mean, I'm also older and I also get this issue of being a woman, you know, in getting older, but I think when you do as much work to your face as she has done, in my view, before I get hit by everyone out there who just, you know, loves her, I
love her. This is personal.
I love her too.
You must remember, I was coming into my hormonal manhood at the time when she was like really kind of showing legs.
I mean, she was iconic. I also, you know, I studied art. One of my degrees at university was a fine art degree. And we did a whole module on Madonna as a performance artist. And this was in the 80s. And so, you know, there was, you know, a feminist performance artist agenda to what she did and her constant changing up her image and what she was trying to do. But I do think that you can take keeping yourself young too far.
Okay.
That's my view.
What are you saying?
I just think that is not a great look.
Is it a Botox reality?
It's a combination, I would say, of injectables and surgery,
yeah.
In my view. And it's kind of, you know, when it's just too far and you almost have this putty-like face. Listen, that's my opinion. And you know, when you look at her, you know what she looked like in our, you know, when she in her heyday.
There she is.
She was amazing, you know. And even over the years, you know, she's changed her face quite a lot. I loved the original Madonna with her imperfections.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway, she's hit back and she, you know, she doesn't take those things lying down. She posted a tweet. She said, "The world is threatened by my power and my stamina, my
like
intelligence
it.
And my will to survive.
Give it back to them.
They will never break me.
Go for it, girl."
I kind of agree with that, but I also do think
get
that,
another
like,
jab.
If you want to age gracefully, do it a little bit more gracefully.
I
you
just,
don't think so?
It's give entirely
it
up to
got.
Her. Let her do it,
it her
and maybe she's looking in the mirror and she likes what she sees.
No,
you
have a fair point. If she's happy with what she sees, who are we to like
absolutely.
Criticize her? Anyway, it's a controversy. The internet is divided, as we like to say.
Nobody's heard about global warming, really. Okay.
No, much more important things to
absolutely.
Focus on.
And then a Paris show is going to focus on Claude's little-known elder sibling, Leon Monet.
Yeah, so Monet is the father of Impressionism. This is the art movement that began from around 1860, and it was a huge break from classical art in Europe at the time, where you always painted everything that was extremely realistic, smooth, where to have a brushstroke visible on a canvas was like almost considered illegal. And so when Impressionism and Post-Impressionism and these movements began, it was this huge, I mean, the sort of the society of Paris were in shock. But Claude Monet, you know, you will know him for his pictures of water lilies, of his haystacks, which he painted at every single moment of the day. It was all about brush strokes and light, and it was very modern. But what people maybe didn't know, and I didn't realize, was that he had a brother who was also a painter and who actually supported him through his life when he was struggling. His name was Léon Monet. He was a chemist and industrialist, and he is now going to – they are holding an exhibition of his work in Paris, and – I just thought that was very interesting because, you know.
Well, you've given some history and some background to why you would find it interesting.
It is interesting because, you know, artists at the time who broke away from the convention, like now we, you know, his paintings are worth like mega millions. I mean, to own a Monet is like, it's the pinnacle of modern art of its day. And yet at the time, these artists like Monet were
eking out an existence.
Well, they were ostracized. You know, they would have to go, you know, to the left bank and have these off, you know, these shows that were done, you know, sort of almost not secretly, but they were not in the mainstream. The École des Beaux-Arts, which was the main art institution, were horrified. You know, Paris society were horrified. But their work is so incredibly beautiful. And I don't know if you've ever gone and looked at Impressionism, but it's all about light.
You must induct me, please. I really want to be inducted.
Yeah. I mean, Monet's water lilies, you know, which he painted extensively towards the end of his life as well, in the area that he lived, are just incredible.
So when there's an exhibition and you know about it, then you invite me around and then you just show me around.
Yes. But I do like the fact that his brother, who no one seems to have really known much about, actually kept his body and soul together while he brought us all this magnificent art.
Yeah, no, I really want to have that moment with you. I want to go back to my brass when we're playing clever jazz and tell them about Monet. I think I'm going to lose my street cred.
You might, although maybe you never know. Maybe people will appreciate beauty.
No, absolutely. I think we need to just get an eye for it. And sometimes,
I just wanted to say, so one of the things I loved about history of art, I mean, I did a whole, you know, fine art degree, but the history of art section was it's a way of studying history through pictures. And there is something, you know, art was always at the cutting edge of what was going on in society at the time.
Yeah.
And it's just such a fascinating viewpoint into humans and society.
Yeah. But it's not instinctive. Surely it's a growing appreciation, nearly.
And I also always say, you know, people mustn't feel like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to say about that painting because I'm not an art expert. I always still say, and I did paint, I did have a sort of a career in art for a while, is if you respond to that, be it negative or positive, if you feel an emotional response, that's what it is.
Okay.
You can go, I hate this. I love this. I'm moved by this.
And
I'm revolted
by this.
And
it's okay if somebody says, what do you think of it?
Just say painting. What you think. Yeah.
I'm excited about the next topic, Fawlty Towers Rebooted.
Oh, my goodness.
I love English humor.
It's on everyone's lips. I mean, I was, it started in 1975. I was pretty young, but we were like schooled in Fawlty Towers. I mean, Basil Fawlty was like, is an icon. And the exciting news that he and his daughter are doing a reboot of the series, sort of, I think, more focusing on Basil's take on modern life. But I thought we could play out with just a little clip from one of the episodes that I have never, it's always stayed with me. I think it was in season one. It was the one about don't mention the war. And it was an episode where these German tourists come to stay at Fawlty Towers, their bed and breakfast that they run, him and his wife, Sybil, who fight with each other constantly. And obviously at the time, and this is in 1975, it was a bit closer to the Second World War than we are now. So, which, I mean, the Second World War is very much part of the, of content.
Consciousness as
and,
well.
And aware, we had series on it. And so, of course, the Germans are sitting there and he can't help himself. And every 5 seconds he puts his foot in it completely and he mentions the war. And I thought, let's just play a minute of it.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. The place is grilled. In fact, the whole room's a bit warm, isn't it? I'll open a window. Have a look. And the veal chop is done with rosemary. Funny. Thought you'd gone to Canada. And it's delicious and nutritious. In fact, it's really good. Really good.
Wheel is is good.
Yes, doesn't matter, never mind.
May we have two ex-mayonnaises, please?
Certainly, why not indeed? We are all friends now, eh?
A prawn cocktail.
All in the market together? Old differences forgotten, and no need at all to mention the war.
Sorry. What was it again?
The prawn cocktail.
Oh, prawn, that was it. When you said prawn, I thought you said war. Oh, the war! Oh, yes, completely slipped my mind. Yes, I've forgotten all about it. Himmler and all that. Oh, yes, completely forgotten it, just like that.
That's English humor for you.
It's the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
I look forward to that.
I am too. Thank you, Barbara Friedman. That's Barb's Wire.